Wednesday, August 2nd, 2006, Upon Further Review, Episode Number 8. We just keep going and going and going. Just like that Energizer Bunny. I mean, except for the pink fur and the bass drum, but otherwise, we're pretty much just like that guy.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
Okay, and once again, here we are in Upon Further Review. I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And we are coming to you live from what I am going to term as Eagle Studios. That's because Clea and I just moved into a place that has two stone eagles in front. So it's Eagle Studio.
I really didn't know where you were just, going with you should, that.
I wish that we were doing a vidcast. Clea was just like, he's lost his mind. Like, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he lost my mind because...
It's hot.
I should say...
Can we review radio weather people? Did I tell you the other day, the woman, we were driving along, and the woman's like, so just wanted to discuss with you guys the heat wave that's happening right now in Central Park. It is 94 degrees. So don't you worry, we're going to be watching that thermometer for you. And I'm like, you know what? I don't need...
She's monitoring the heat wave from an air-conditioned radio studio.
Well, not only that, you know? I'm like, you know what? What I needed you to do was tell me a week ago that there was a freaking heat wave coming.
Exactly.
So I could have gotten the air conditioners then. Not when everyone and their mother, son, daughter, nephew, and third cousin are getting an air conditioner.
I know, it's true. And it's one of those things where, you know, like, everyone has this idea that it's just like, well, you know, it's hot. And if you lived in the, you know, we have listeners who live in Australia and, you know, people, lived in the South, you know, okay, but here's the thing, we don't. And the reason we don't is because we don't want to face 104 degree temperatures with a heat index of a, and they always say the two, they're always like, it's 104, but it feels like 189. You know, it feels like you should be dead.
Yeah, because the humidity is.
It is hot. And so you may hear a hum in the background because although we have a nice new office and a new, as I say, Eagle Studios here. Eagle Studios does not yet have an air conditioner installed in it, and as a result, we have the fan on full blast. If you hear a hum, we thought about taking it off, and that would have lasted about 5 seconds because we would have fallen slumped over our keyboards dead. So since we'd rather not die while doing the show, we apologize for the hum. But
we probably just would have gotten in a coma from heat exhaustion. I don't think we'd die.
That's true. Well, then our dog Lilo would be forced to go pick up the phone as she's been trained to do and call 911.
No, we didn't train her yet.
Yeah, we got to work on that.
Yeah.
So we want to welcome everyone in and thank you guys for listening as always and want to send a shout out to a couple of people, including a guy who left a comment on our site, Reese, about our EB review last week and wanted to say that he had listened to our review and thought, it's funny, everyone who listens to our reviews likes them but thinks that, you know, you guys were even too nice. I would even have gone farther. Actually, they're the second,
you know,
they're the Antichrist. That's really what they
are. You know, one thing that we didn't talk about? He mentioned the customers. I mean, there was all this frustration that you had about EB when you were working there.
Right.
But 50% of it was the customers.
Yeah, well.
The people that walk in and would say, do you sell games here?
Yeah. Which I was like, yeah, no. I'm looking for computer software. Do you have computer software? Do you have PlayStation games?
No.
Yeah, it's true. And he does mention that. In fact, I'll be talking about customers a little bit today when we get to our later section.
Because we were customers.
But anyway, we want to thank you, Reese, for listening, and we hope that you will stay with us for a long time. Welcome to the UFR family, and welcome to everybody else who has come back and is continuing to listen and support us. We really appreciate it. And I think that's all the loose ends that I have to tie up for today, other than the fact that we moved. So.
Yeah, I'm really worried that people are going to see the description of this episode and not want to listen.
I know.
But I really hope they listen, because there was a point.
Why
to
it's
our
not
madness.
A sexy enough title? Is that the
yeah?
Idea?
No, I think they're no, it's not going to be sexy. But there was a point to our madness. We were trying to be a little topical.
Yes.
It's summer.
Yes.
People move.
Yes.
During the summer.
And we already reviewed a water bottle that, you know. So
that's right.
So,
that's right. I had already decided to be topical.
So we already decided to be seasonal.
So we're continuing
absolutely.
That theme.
So we have three things as per usual that we're going to be reviewing on today's show, and to make it more sexy, we're calling these the three S's. We're not even going to tell you what they are. They're just three S's. No, I will tell you what they are. We're going to start out with... I like that.
Yeah.
We're going to start out with...
That was cooling.
Yeah.
Actually, that cooled me off doing
Let's
that.
Do that more.
That's nice. That's nice.
We could just do this for 30 minutes and shut off the show. Please, God. This is commitment, people. Us bringing you this show, bringing you opinions, let me tell you what.
Anyway.
So the first thing that we have to review today is the Salvation Army.
Sexy Salvation Army.
I know. It's
sexy,
it's
sexy,
You know, people are going to be like, wow, you're going to review a charity. Yes, we are going to review a charity. And we want to, as usual, talk about something broader
not
within
just
that
any charity.
Charity
the where you charity. You only yeah. work for them now if you're Christian.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. They put that in effect. Because one of the guys that applied for the manager position at my job, he worked there for 20 years. And then he had to leave because everyone in those level positions need to be like reverends or something like that.
Well, that's logical because as we know, Jesus taught everyone to reject people. So so the Salvation Army is our first topic. We're then going to move on to discuss the second S, Sears and P.C. Richard & Son. Okay, so it's the Son part. But the Sears and P.C. Richard & Son, and I'm just going to talk a lot about big retail corporations and why they're problematic. Not just, you know, we talked about one of them in EB Games, but this one's big super box store stuff. We want to talk about that. And then we're going to conclude with our podcast review segment, and we're going to be reviewing a show that's done by a guy named Will Ross called Smart Bomb Radio, and that will come to you. That's our third S, and that will come to you at the end of the show. So let's start out with leading off by talking about the Salvation Army. I guess Clea should lead in and sort of explain what this is.
Yeah, I wanted to get rid of lots of stuff.
Because we were moving.
Because we were moving, and I didn't want to have to... I wanted to start fresh. Fresh.
Is it S?
So I had two options, as I saw it.
Options. I'm sorry, I gotta stop.
One was trying to sell things on Craigslist.
Right. Which is something else we might review in the future, Craigslist.
Yeah.
Could be.
We could review Craigslist. Well, I guess three options. Three options.
Three.
Second option is I could just put it out on the street.
Yes.
And the third was I could donate it and try to get a tax write-off.
You could also set it on fire. That was a fourth option.
Well, yeah, I did discuss that. You get so connected to things. Sometimes I wish that nicely, well-placed, safe fire. Do not recommend this. Do not try this at home.
But the point is you wanted to give it away rather than just selling it or leaving it on the street or doing something like that. You wanted to give it to charity is the point.
Yeah, so I could get a tax write-off.
Well, you're not supposed to say that. That's
because I wanted to give to others.
To the community. No, I mean, you know, there is a tax write-off, but we'll get back to this later on. Okay, so, yes.
So I want to let everyone know, in case you don't know this, maybe I'm slow and didn't get the book or the manual on how to donate things.
You didn't get the, okay, right. Didn't get the memo.
I didn't get the memo.
Right.
That was what I was going for. Thanks, Greg.
The book. Didn't get the TV show.
Their neurons.
The movie.
Are not. Didn't get the movie.
Didn't get the thermometer. It's hot.
But you can't just show up at Salvation Army and drop things off. It depends upon what you are donating.
Well, let's set the stage here. So we're giving them, in Salvation Army, we're giving them good stuff is the point, right? I just wanted to say that. We're not giving them garbage. It wasn't like we just, you know, tore up some rags and said, okay, take this and give us a tax write-off. We're giving them, you know, like bookcases and like, you know, reasonable furniture, right?
Well, yes. I mean, we are giving them clothes, shoes, and furniture. Albeit some of the furniture was stuff we got off the street.
Yeah, but it was still
in
good condition is the point. But it's still in good condition.
It's still in good condition. Yeah. No, and that's a very valid concern that all non-for-profits have is they have to be really picky and choosy about what they take.
Right.
Because it takes volunteer time. I've done it. It's very tedious to go through donations and see what's good and what's bad.
Right.
It is very tedious work.
Yeah.
So I guess that what they do now is they cut down on the donations that they take. So if you want to donate furniture, so the moral of the story is if you want to donate furniture to Salvation Army, or if you want to donate mass quantities of things to Salvation Army, you need to plan at least a week or two in advance and call and order a truck to come and pick it up.
And by the way, you can find Salvation Army on the web. If you type in salvationarmy.org, I think that should actually bring you to their site.
But anyway, just to know that, you really have to plan in advance. It can't be just something that you're dropping off at the last minute. And to really have a clear idea around what you are dropping off, what the quality is, and what the approximate value is, so that when you fill out the information, you'll have all that information so that what you turn in with your tax return or whatever is as detailed as possible.
But I should say here, see, the problem that we had with this situation, and we'll talk about a couple of issues with it, is that you did do that. I mean, you had like a whole list. You had a whole sequence about what it did. I mean, you itemized everything.
What I didn't do is I didn't plan beforehand. I didn't know you had a call a week, 2 weeks in advance to order the pickup.
Okay.
And that's what you have to do. Because I thought you could just drop it off. You can't.
Okay, but you did itemize. I mean, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah,
but you did
itemize
everything and you listed it. I mean, I'm sure you did more than most people do when they drop stuff off.
Right. Well, I was ready when they took the stuff. It was piece of cake. I just filled out the form and took my copy.
Yeah.
I mean, the one that we dropped him off in on Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, I filled it out and it was already pre-signed.
Yeah.
So it was pretty much piece of cake.
We could have, in fact, made it up, you know. 12 pieces of finest platinum, approximate value $60,000. Yeah, you really made it up.
I mean, I guess check in with us again after we do our taxes and we'll see.
So, yeah, that's a good point. Platinum, that's not worth anything. You should have given us this.
When we get audited, though.
But see, here's my thing about that and the whole thing about planning. Now, obviously, whenever you do a move, and Clea, as people, some people will know, and others of you who don't know her, but only know her through her beautiful voice, Clea is extremely well organized, okay? And I think I'm reasonably well organized myself. But there's a lot of stuff to think about when you're going through a move. I mean, we're moving from Brooklyn to the Bronx, so that's like a, you know, to Riverdale in the Bronx. And that's a 20-mile move. And, you know, we have to think about, you know, how to organize it. We're moving to a bigger place, you know, just coordinations. Everyone who's moved will know this. And so there's a lot that you have to think about. So what would have been the easiest thing for us would have been just to sort of throw the stuff out in the street and forget about it, because in Brooklyn, people will come by and pick it up and use it, and, you know, and that's that anyway. But we decided to do this. Now, Clea joked, you know, we're using it for tax write-off. Obviously, that's true. We're using it for a tax write-off in part, and in part, we're very fortunate to have had this stuff in the first place. So we're not sitting around going, oh, how terrible it is that Salvation Army won't do this. And we know Salvation Army is doing valuable stuff. But our whole problem with this is, aren't you trying to make it so that, I mean, do you want this stuff? Because there's a certain point where I got frustrated. I'm just like, would you prefer I just sold it? Like,
you know, and one issue, the issue that ties in with this is because Salvation Army is also well known. In social services, we deal with people who are poor, working class poor quite often as well, people with not very much money. And so they need to know what options they have. And nowadays, it's cheaper to shop at Target, as I like to call it, than Salvation Army.
Is that true, really?
Honestly.
Wow.
When I go in there, I've gone in there on
a few occasions.
Yeah, but
if you buy it from Target, it's not a Christian store. Where would Jesus shop, Clea? Where would Jesus shop?
I think Jesus would go to Target.
Probably.
Honestly, I think he'd go to Target.
Can you imagine that? He's like, I'd like those, please. Do you have any money? I'm the Son of God. Oh.
Do you have ID?
I'm sorry. It's credit or debit.
Credit or debit. Because what they ask, the asking prices for things are quite high.
Yeah.
I had one client, I needed to get her a winter jacket. And I said, well, let's take her to Salvation Army.
Okay.
There was nothing in there under $50.
Wow.
And part of that is because I think that they get some good stuff. And so they want to sell it at what they think they should be asking. But they're kind of missing the point.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to be. It's like another example of our consumerism issue with capitalism.
Right.
Simply because you think that that's what you should be getting for something.
Doesn't mean that you
doesn't
should be charging
that's what you should be charging.
And especially for Salvation Army, which is clearly not a for-profit thing. Yeah. You know, they could make the argument, I guess, that they're trying to support, you know, their other things that they do, and that the point is not so they can give low-cost stuff to the public. The point is that this supports their other programs. But my whole thing is it's all connected. And obviously, if you're a charity and you want stuff, you ought to make it as easy as possible for people to be able to give it to you. So this as this is why I brought up the thing about the quality. It wasn't like we were like, here's this, you know, rotting piece of wood that we have in our place. Why don't you take it and sell it? I mean, obviously, that's not something we're going to do. But if we're giving you nice bookcases, nice things. And again, we know that we're lucky to have them. That's not the point of this. The point is, if we were fortunate enough and then decided to give it to you, just from a practical standpoint, you ought to do what you can to make it easy to accept the items and not look at you as if you have two heads. Like, why? Because the guy did that. We even showed up and the guy's just sort of like, all right, bring the stuff in. I'm like, gee, guy, I'm sorry that we're, you know, burdening you with the stuff that you want from us for free. You know,
But I do want to make a point. Once I found out that it wasn't that easy, I looked online, I did a Google search, I tried to find other places where we could donate the stuff. Everyone was this difficult. Goodwill only takes clothes.
Yeah.
Housing Works, it's a very good not-for-profit, deals with AIDS, mainly homeless individuals. Their furniture, you have to book in advance, and they only take high-quality stuff. Then I had that Jewish humanities place that I arranged, hoping maybe they'd work out. The guy shows up. First of all, I call him. And you have to leave a message, and then they'll call you back if they're interested. That's what the message says. So I leave a message. A guy calls me back. It says, well, how old is the furniture? And I'm like, I don't know. If I said 5 years. He said, okay. Well, come on Saturday from 3 to 4. And I'm like, okay. No asking me. No. Just
yeah,
they told me.
Yeah, this is when we're coming.
Saturday, which I was surprised. I figured Jewish, they wouldn't be coming on Saturday. But okay. Yeah. A guy shows up at 11.
Yeah.
11 a.m. in the morning on Saturday.
For those of you keeping score, 11 is not the same as 3 to 4.
11 is not the same as 3.
No.
Not even in, like,
not even
army
in Israel.
Time.
Not even in Israel is 11, 3 to 4.
Although, maybe you have any hours. Maybe it is. No?
Do you think they're on Israeli time?
Maybe they're on Israeli time.
No, I doubt it. I don't think so.
So he comes in, and he's like, can I please look at the furniture? So I let this man into our home.
Which is, you know, filled with boxes and
fills with boxes, and I try to show him things. And I'm like, so, you know, is this, you want us to take it out to you? He's like, well, I need to see all of it. So I open up the bedroom and I show him everything. And he's like, okay, no, I'm sorry. We only are looking for full bedroom sets.
Full bedroom sets? I'm like, what are you, Jordan's Furniture? What do you mean you're looking for full bedroom sets?
Well, my
sets?
Point was, you know what? I'd like a full bedroom set.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so first of all, yeah, that. And then secondly, thanks for telling us. And then thirdly...
Well, yeah, thanks for telling me that on the phone.
Again, so the point here is, obviously, Clea, working in social work, we know quite a bit about the importance of charity. So we're not trying to bash universally here. We're just trying to say, if you really are a charity, and we understand there may be reasons for some of these things individually, but overall, the idea that you've now, it's become some kind of a chore for you to take things in, well, you're kind of missing the point. If you want people to give you stuff, you need to make it somewhat easy for them to give it to you. And you can start by not acting as if, you know, you're the one being put upon because we're giving you our stuff. Because that's the way this guy acted too. He didn't crack a smile once when he was in our apartment. No. Just like, hey, how are you? He's like, no. Show me the furniture. Show it to me. Do it.
You know? Well, you know, and another thing, when I was looking online, I found that there were a lot of places that are looking for donating cars. And in New York City, there's billboards everywhere about donating cars. So I almost wonder if there's a trend now just to bigger items. It's not just clothes.
We only accept
only
plasma
quality.
TVs. Do you have HDTVs?
It's not just furniture. It's only quality furniture. It's not just anything. It's cars.
Does that suggest that our poor are getting, you know, have more consumer goods? Or does it just suggest that they're out of their minds?
No, I think it's that the not-for-profits, it's not fiscally doable for them to be taking anything lesser quality.
That's a problem,
because
too.
Because there's not very many volunteers. There's not much time. It's tough to go through the crap. And so they're specializing.
So what do we want to say for the Salvation Army? I mean, I think after this experience... For me, it would be like a 2 or a 2.5.
Especially because their website, you know, I mean, give us more information. Don't make us waste our time.
Yeah.
But don't make me waste their time either. Give me information so I can know beforehand so I don't waste my time and theirs.
Yep. So 2 for Salvation Army and Sundry, we would say.
Okay.
Okay, next up on the docket is the second S, and this is not going to take that long. I just really have a few comments that
so
I want to make about
it. We got rid of everything.
We got rid of everything, and then we realized we need to buy things back. No, I'm just kidding. No, we got rid of everything, but one of the things that we hadn't gotten, and we had sort of, I don't know that we had forgotten about this, but
no, we had air conditioners.
We had two air conditioners. Air conditioning is what we needed.
But they only are, I think, probably 5,000 BTU.
Right.
And they're both horizontal window units.
Right, and we
didn't realize that when we got here, these windows are only going to take vertical units.
Casement windows, so they're vertical sliding windows, and some of the rooms are bigger, so they just didn't do the cooling job.
Right, so they need to be more BTUs.
So that meant that we had to buy a couple new air conditioners.
Right, okay. In the middle of a heat wave.
In the middle of the heat wave, right. So everyone, as Clea said, and the brother and the nephew and the uncle and the second cousin, all of them are going out to buy things. So he said, okay, we're going to go to some of the big stores. And the first thing that we did was we went to Sears, and that's where
I
ended up going.
First.
Oh, you went to okay, so let's lead
Remember,
off with
BC. We went to BC Richard & Son, where the guy walked up to and said, okay.
That's right.
First off, I want you to forget everything you think you know about buying air conditioners.
So let me say, too, by the way, PC Richard & Son, for people who don't know, it's kind of an East Coast thing. They're a big sort of they're like
appliance.
Tweeter or like Circuit City or something like that. You
but
can
for
find
appliances.
Them at PCRichard.com. So, okay, Clea, so this guy walks up and...
He's like, oh, you know, I've been no vacation for 12 months, been doing this for 26 years. I'm a straight shooter. I'm going to tell you like it is. But first off, you need to forget everything you know about buying air conditioners, which didn't take me very long since I know nothing.
Right.
And wasn't going to presume to know anything.
He was just setting you straight. Everyone comes in and they're like, look, I know BTUs. Okay,
clean
he's like,
no,
you
slate.
Don't. You don't know BTUs. Mm-mm-mm.
He said, go home, figure out exactly what you need. These are the things you need, the questions you need to ask, and then come back, which is good. I mean, so he didn't want us to buy something that wasn't going to work. Then I try to call places. Because I'm trying to be, again, organized and plan beforehand so we don't drive around creation. I can't get anyone on the phone. Or when I do get them on the phone, they put me on hold for a half hour.
Right.
So then finally I go, okay, the one place I can get on the phone is Sears. So I figured, well, let's try Sears because it sounds like they have some options.
So
Greg goes to Sears.
I go out to Sears, and Clea gets me the directions, and I go out there. And the Sears that I go to is in the middle of the Bronx. Now, those of you who have ever been up to the Bronx, it's bustling, okay? And in this particular case, everybody's either out trying to escape the heat, I mean, you know, because they don't have air conditioning in their homes, or they're running to Sears to get an air conditioner. So it's busy. And when I walk in there and I walk down to the bottom floor, sure enough, there's tons of different air conditioners. And, you know, the ones that they had there, we ended up getting a portable one and another one. That was fine. What happens, and the sort of reason I want to explain this, is when I come out of the store, you have to go to one of two places. And I got one air conditioner at one place and then one air conditioner at another place, none of which are in the store. So you just wander to your left until you find this tiny little sign on a trailer that says merchandise pickup here. This, by the way, is distinguished from warehouse pickup here. Okay. So I go into the merchandise pickup, and the first thing I notice when I walk in there is it is steaming hot. I mean, it is hotter than it was outside. And I'm like...
You see
these people. Yeah, you see the guy behind the desk just sweating.
I would
sweat
think that
pouring
Sears would
off
be
of
union.
Him. But I mean,
I can't imagine that union. I guess they're not, because if they were union, they wouldn't.
This wouldn't be happening. I don't know. But I said to the guy, you know, so he takes the thing. He's very nice. He's like, oh, all right, we'll get it. And this other one, you're going to have to get at this other random place down the street. I'm like, okay. So he sends the guy to go get it. And while I'm there, I'm like, do they keep you in this? Oh, yeah, we're always in this. You know, in the winter, we don't really have good heating either. So I thought, okay, maybe this is just sort of a unique thing. You know, they just had a bad store. I don't know, whatever. But I felt bad for him. I said so. I was like, and, you know, he's like, well, you know, we do what we can, blah, 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 blah. Guy comes back with a portable air conditioner, load it in the car. Okay. Now I have to get the second thing. And the second thing is in the warehouse, not the merchandise pickup. You get to the warehouse and you see, first of all, a bunch of cars clustered outside. And you see this one guy. And I only saw one dude and his assistant who stood at the bottom of the ramp. One dude has got one of those weight belts on, you know, those things to counterbalance. And he's walking up and down this steep ramp which leads into the warehouse to get it. I walk into the warehouse. The warehouse was probably 20 degrees hotter than the building I had just been in. Why? Because their central air conditioning was broken.
Oh, man.
And had not been fixed for, get this, 2 months. Now, as the guy explained to me.
Yeah,
and again, the guy
no
is sweat pouring down his face and everything else. Now,
this was my
point. This is what you just said about union is important. Number one, this is why the idea that unions have outlived their usefulness is a joke. Because when unions don't exist, this is what happens. What ultimately happens is that people get taken advantage of. Here, these people were loading air conditioner after air conditioner after air conditioner into the cars of these people, which themselves are air conditioned, while they're steaming in this warehouse, which has got fans running and everything else and has zero air conditioning, because Sears Roebuck and Company, one of the biggest companies on earth, can't afford to repair the central air conditioning at their flagship store in the Bronx. I mean, give me a break.
And those are probably working poor. They're making minimum wage.
Yep. Minimum wage, which is already,
probably,
you know,
very little benefits. Yeah. He's going to come away from that job with numerous health problems.
Yep.
That's going to shoot up our Medicaid.
Oh, because I could barely breathe in there, waiting in there for 5 minutes. Can you imagine the guy walking there for hours? And so when I got down to the bottom, the assistant who was outside, you know, brings the air conditioner over and he's like, oh, it's like, this is crazy. And he actually said, you think you could spare me some money for a soda or something? So I gave him money.
God.
I did. I gave him some money for it because I was like, you know what, man? After what I just saw you do and what that poor guy had to do, both of you, I said, give some of this to the guy too to get yourself something. I said, this is ridiculous. So this is
a
message.
Good line, Greg. He just got some money from you. You gave him money. How much did you give him?
Like $4.
And then as soon as you left, he was like, "All right, turn on the air conditioning, Joe."
Right. Sure. They were actually not doing it. Very funny. But so I mean, I guess the point here is, if you're a big retailer, please, please wake up. Even from a public relations standpoint, do you know how ridiculous it is to have customers walking into your steaming hot warehouse while people are bringing out air conditioners? I mean, I wasn't the only one. This wasn't lost on anybody waiting in line. Everyone is just like, I can't believe they make them work in this. It is a joke that you do that. And the idea that you're somehow unable to do it because of the free market and all this other stuff is a complete joke. This, so for me, and I would say, by the way, I didn't give the website. I think everybody knows it's Sears.com. If you are out there and are thinking about buying from these stores, if I were you, I would make a suggestion that you think about the possibility of writing to or talking to Sears about things like this, about issues like this, and certainly consider it in your buying decisions, because it's the kind of thing that bothers me that you've got these people who think that they can get away with this stuff. It's just a joke. And so Sears, from me, gets a 1.5. I'm sorry. You cannot have a big store that is your flagship store in the Bronx, not fix your central air conditioning for 2 months, and then make your workers put air conditioners in the backs of cars. It's a joke.
So when you go to Sears.com, at the top of the screen, there's customer service. If you click on customer service, it will take you to another screen, and then there's a series of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tabs. For this one on the right is contact us. If you click on contact us, under stores, it says submit your questions, comments about our stores. And then it opens up as sending an email. So
yeah,
let's send them an email.
So our suggestion would be send an email and explain to them what's up.
And, well, I guess you have to go there first. They can't just go at our word.
I just heard that your store sucks because you hurt people.
I don't know if you've listened to a Pod Further Review.
But Upon Further Review said this. And so I want to say 1.5 for them.
1.5.
I'm annoyed at Sears. That was wrong. What these people had to go through was wrong.
What was the customer service like when you were in the store?
It was okay. I mean, the guy was sort of lost and, you know, about what he was.
Was there just one guy?
There was one guy. There's always just one guy. Okay. And the guy just had this sort of weird smile on his face. He's just sort of like, come, follow me. I will show you. Follow me where the air conditioners are. I didn't even want to get into that. It reminded me a little bit of the HP situation from a couple of shows ago. So,
all right.
I would say a 1.5. I guess we could go to a 2 because the air conditioner, at least they had them in stock. So I guess I'd say 2.
2.
But
and they answered their phone.
So
2
for Sears. Get yourselves together. Okay. Last item that we have on the docket is Smart Bomb Radio.
This is Smart Bomb Radio.
But the thing that was shocking was not so much that he pistol-whipped me, is that he pistol-whipped me more than once.
Then I walked up behind him, and he didn't see me coming, grabbed him, and threw him on the ground, and he wasn't wearing a shirt, and I put him in a Boston Crab.
But I don't know what part of the body he's calling the buttocks.
Get the rest of these stories and others at www.smartbombradio.com or search for Smart Bomb Radio on iTunes.
You can find this at www.smartbombradio.com. This is a podcast that's done by a guy named Will Ross. And just before we start the review, I just have to say, I already liked Will going into this because Will, over at the podcast Pickle, Will posts fairly often. And at one point, Will was clearly quite drunk on one Friday night, and he posted this whole thread in which he broke down lyric by lyric, Total Eclipse of the Heart, in all capital letters. One of the funniest things I've ever read. So he says, I'm drunk right now, and I don't care who knows it. Turn around. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, he goes, every now and then. So he's just sitting in front of his computer, clearly, drinking a beer, and then typing in all caps the next line to Total Eclipse of the Heart. It was a very funny mental image for me, so I already thought he was funny. But this podcast is a comedy podcast, sort of a variety, I guess, comedy
it's
podcast.
It's like a variety show.
It. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's got friends and people that he knows come on to tell stories of their life experience.
Yep.
He's got at least 2 that I heard of that are series,
right.
Ongoing series. One that did archaeology in Israel and another one that did a tour of...
It was a children's theater tour, and he had this...
Treasure Island.
Right, of Treasure Island, and talking about disaster stories.
Okay.
And then he also has little skits, like he had the skit about, what was it, Godzilla?
Godzilla running for Senate. So he'll come up with his own skits, and then he'll also play things that he's found,
right.
I guess, on the internet.
Yeah, Podsafe music, I would assume. Like, he played, I think, Geeks in Love and sort of quirky stuff by a group called Lemon Demon, I think. I hadn't heard of him before.
That sounded like...
They Might Be Giants. Oh, yeah. It was very much They Might Be Giants. I bet he would agree with that, too. And he sort of mixes it in that way. Each show is about a half hour, comes out once per week. And I know that he's, you know, been very active. I think they're up to, what are they up to? Probably about 7 or 8 around, like us, maybe, right around 7 or 8 episodes, something like that.
I don't want to scroll up because I hate that
the
picture.
The 30 minutes. Oh, yeah, the dog picture.
Well, yeah, I don't like that picture. And then I also don't like that picture of the,
guy whose face is bloodied and everything else.
Yeah. Happened.
So he's quirky, and, you know, I would say on the positive side, first of all, because we always talk a little bit about this, the website technical stuff, I think the website's pretty good. I think this is yet another Libsyn site, and you guys already know that I'm not a huge Libsyn guy, but I think, you know, it's pretty good.
Straightforward,
and I think the logos and the pictures that he puts up there are pretty funny, because I think he does the drawing, and so they're these funny pictures of, like, bombs with pirate swords and things like that. I mean, it's goofy, but it's intentionally goofy. And so the website itself is easy to use and fairly straightforward and so forth. And in terms of the technical sort of production of the show, I think it's done pretty well for the most part. I mean, you know, he does a pretty good job of intercutting and doing things like that. There's some other concerns that I guess we'll get to in a second. But in terms of the overall sound quality and, you know, stuff like that, I think he does a pretty good job of integrating that stuff as well.
Yeah.
And also some of the stuff is funny. I mean, the Godzilla skit's pretty funny. And there were some other things that he had on the show that was funny as well. Similar to the Will Flipson show that we did a few weeks ago, not all the skits work. And some of the stories, I think, are better than others. Some of the stories are kind of like, they kind of drag on. And they're not all meant to be super hilarious funny either. Some of them are just sort of like, you know, intriguing stories. Not all of them, though, are equally intriguing, you know, from what we could tell from the episodes we listened to. But.
I don't know. I mean, it's fun to kind of hear people talk about their experiences. I think people like that. We're really into reality TV nowadays.
Yep.
I didn't mind that. What I didn't like is I didn't like his interaction with them.
How so?
I just, it seemed a little fakey. he'd go, uh-huh, oh, yeah. And then he'd say comments or something like that. And I just, okay. I almost just wanted him to be quiet.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because one of the things I noticed about the show, this is just something, I get this impression. I get the impression that Will really wants this show to work. And so because he really wants the show to work, he really wants to do all the stuff that podcasters do, which means he tries a little bit too hard. For example, he does so much stuff at the end of each, because we listen to a couple of episodes, and at the end of each show, he spends all this time. In fact, one of the episodes we listened to, this person called in on his comment line, and I'll get back to that in a second. His friend called in and said, man, you have so many, you spend like 4 minutes on ways to contact you. And he's like, yeah, okay, so in his interest, I won't do that. And then he spends like 3.5 minutes on telling you how to contact him.
That he does more than two.
I mean, you know.
It was cute. Though.
And on top of that, I don't even, as far as the comment itself is concerned, it's not necessary. I mean, one, you know, we try to read out the comments that are interesting, and if we get voicemails, we'll often play them. But I don't know that you need to play everyone, because he was basically playing this thing that said, dude, just listen to your show. Got some issues to deal with. He's like, oh, let's listen to someone telling me about how my show has issues. It's like, no. So I think Will tries a little bit too hard, and I think that that's reflected even in sort of some of the his interviewing. It's interviewed and it's sort of reflected in the show itself.
To be honest,
you don't have to push it that hard.
Well, it makes me, and I don't know if this is true, but it makes it feel like he's lacking for material.
Right.
Because the filler in between things, the transition music, and then him talking about things. He talks about, there's a lot of setup and then sit down.
Yep.
And so it makes me feel, and it's only 30 minutes, right?
Right.
It didn't sound like it was, it sounded like it was longer than 30 minutes.
Yeah, it was like 32 minutes.
So, but I'm sure he's very creative. I'm sure he's got lots of ideas. So I'd rather him just cut it a little bit more so what he does have will seem a little more crisp and a little more special.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to put it. We'd rather, it would be better to have a 25-minute tight show than a 32-minute kind of wandering show in which he has to keep filling in.
Right.
And that was the other thing about transitions. I know that he's sort of trying to imitate a radio format show, but a lot of times, you know, he plays a song and then he comes back, he's like, that song was this. And now here's all this setup about the story. I don't even think that that's necessary. You've already got that in your show notes. Why not just go from the song directly into the story? Or why not go, you know, why not use music to sort of undercut, you know, to tie together both of them and intercut them, but constantly saying, so what you just heard was this. Well, we know that. You told us that 2 minutes ago, you know?
Well, you know, one thing that I thought of when you mentioned the thing about mentioning comments on the show, how much do you think people actually read of show notes when they're listening to a podcast?
When they're listening to it, I think, there's been a big debate as to whether people listen to it on iPods and mobile MP3 players or whether they sit in front of their computers.
Right.
I think most of them probably listen to it on their way to work, to commutes and things.
So they wouldn't have the show notes in front of them.
And so, I mean, I don't have a problem with him, you know, reading out comments and talking about stuff.
But I guess he just needs to signpost a little. That's a debate term. I shouldn't use that. He just needs to be a little bit more succinct, I guess.
Well, or just tell us at the very beginning. I mean, which I think he does. Tell us at the very beginning, you're going to hear this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And we don't need to hear it again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's also not like a radio broadcast, right? In that they can always rewind. If they really forgot it, they could go back to the beginning.
And it's not like there's commercials where that you have to remind them when they're coming back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, that's good.
And also, the other thing about that I want to say is, and I know that all podcasters do this to a degree, but you don't need to have that much, I think, sort of intercross promotional promo stuff, because he played a promo in one of the episodes that we listened to. He played a promo by All Access Radio. Then he plays a promo later on. He has a voiceover from something else. Then he does something else. You don't need to have like 6 other people contributing to your show. I mean, I know he wants to have a bulk of, you know, because that contributes to what Clea just said about it seems like there's a lack of material.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that's not the case.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you fill it in with all of these promos and intercuts and everything else, you're overdoing it. Have like one promo per show and one voiceover per show and then do your own stuff. Or, you know, if you want to occasionally have a guest person come on or do something like that, that's fine. But sort of constantly referring to the shows.
So. Yeah, I mean, I wonder if he's just very excited about all the things that he's finding and he wants to share it to people. Well, that's one theme that we definitely see with a lot of podcasts. It's a lot of... Every podcast has instances where they're like, hey, you guys, check this out. But you can't do that too much because then it's going to detract from your show and your creativity. That's where I think links to other people's shows could be very important. And, yeah, of course, people are only going to see the links if they go to your website. But then make them fall in love with your show so they go and they check out the website and then they'll see the links. You know, it's great about promoting other people. I think that's great. That's a great aspect to this podcast community. But don't.
It's something that we do on our show.
It's something that we do a lot on our show. But make sure that it doesn't take away from your own creativity and your own voice getting out there.
Right. And my impression of it, as I said, I like Will. I think he's funny, and I think a lot of the stuff that he's got is very creative and interesting. And as I said, it's not all super haha stuff. It's also sometimes just intriguing. So I think his show has got a lot of potential. I think that he's got a lot of potential. I guess the sort of overall thing I would say to him is, you know, slow down, relax. You know, the show's going to make it. You've already got, you know, a number of listeners that are tuning in, and you'll continue to get them because you're clearly smart and you've got good stuff. But don't go overboard, because there's no need to try too hard. You will get your listeners over time, and you can feel confident that that will happen without having to sort of push it with them.
You know, and I also feel, and I could be wrong on this, I felt like all of them were produced.
Yeah.
Nothing was off the cuff.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see him try
except
something
his
off the
introductions.
Cuff.
Oh, well, I guess his introductions in between.
But his
were sort
comedy
of,
acts, the pieces.
Yeah, that's true.
Seem all produced.
That's true. Yep.
And I don't know if that's the way he likes to do his craft, which is fine.
Yeah.
But if it's that he's afraid of trying it just off the cuff, I'd like to encourage him to try it.
Yeah.
And hopefully he doesn't have to drink for it to be off the cuff. I would like to encourage you to get in touch with your creativity without having to become
without
drunk.
Having to become a drunk. But it's cool. And I was also going to say, one other thing I wanted to mention very quickly, the music yeah. I kind of like the music that he played by the different bands.
Yeah,
I thought
he's
it was kind
of
neat
good stuff.
What is up with introducing the show with "You Ain't Got a Thing If You Ain't Got That Swing"?
Yeah, he did
a lot
of jazz
with
pieces, actually.
"Fly Me to the Moon." Well, no, it's fine. I mean, I was just kind of like, what?
Yeah,
I didn't understand it. I would definitely go and try to get one of your many podcast listeners or one of the people out there to make you some kind of cool kick ass, you know, Smart Bomb Radio, chicka chicka. You know, I don't know, some rapper.
No,
you know,
no,
some
not rap,
bomb
but
thing,
it, or, make it funky.
You know,
I think he's going
smart
for something.
Bomb. Chicka, ow.
Would you stop with the bad rap background?
In the his house, bomb blowing up.
See what happens when we move to the Bronx? It's just all downhill.
What are you
there.
Trying to say?
You're just Greg from the block.
I'm just Greg from the block. Down to the hood.
But no, I mean, I think what he was going for was something funky. And a lot of the jazz pieces he was choosing were kind of funky. They were even funky versions. So I would just encourage him to go along that same funkiness, but to maybe play with the way stylistically the music is created and not necessarily go with something that the style wouldn't necessarily really fit.
I agree with that. So what do you want to say for a rating?
3.
You know, it's either 3 or 3.5. I'm kind of leaning towards 3.5 because I feel like I could be convinced into a 3. But I feel like this is one of those 3s that's on the way up. I mean, like, especially for how few episodes he's got. I think that he's got a lot of potential, and I think there's a lot of good. I really think the show's got a nice, interesting vibe to it. I just think he has some work that he has to do, you know, as part of the process. But I think that he's on the right track. So, yeah, I'll be willing to go with 3.
Okay.
And so that's going to be our show for this week. Again, thank everybody for listening out there. And by the time you come to us next week, we shall have an air conditioner in here and hopefully won't have a fan.
Smooth
and cool. So until next week, have a great week. And there's no S in upon further review, so I'm just going to have to say.
No.
Upon further review. I'm Greg.
I'm Kalia.
Have a good one. The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.